so all hatred and blindness will be no more. We are called to act with justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another, to walk humbly with God. Sing, sing a new song. Sing of the great day when all will be one, God will reign, and we'll walk with each other as sisters and brothers, united in love. We are called to act with justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another, to walk humbly with God.
Please turn to page 21, 52. Change my heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, make it be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. This is what I say. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
You are the potter,
I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O
Let's prepare our hearts for worship with 21:46, the first verse of His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for His eye. touches me.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And the whole church says,
Amen.
Amen. So glad that you're here this morning. And we'll begin with, are there any announcements?
Good morning. Of course, I'm Debbie, and it is February. It is the month for us to support our baby bottle fundraiser, okay? And this is through the Alamogordo Pregnancy Help Center. And in the back of the church, I've done a display with the laminated cards, okay, which give you just the basic how to make your payment, the donation, the purpose of the fundraiser. But then also, I have copied a little bit more in depth of what the Pregnancy Center supports and what it doesn't support. And I will read you one of the paragraphs here. It says, the Pregnancy Center is providing information to help you, as in parents of unexpected pregnancies, make informed choices. We want to provide accurate information and resources from a resource that does not profit from the choices you make. All services are free and confidential. We do not refer for or provide for abortions. Quite a few people had asked me what their purpose is, and they do not profit from any of your sexual health or pregnancy decisions. So here again, I've made copies. These are on that back table along with the laminated cards. If you have further questions, please don't hesitate to ask me. The fundraiser goes through February 24th, and you know, we can work a week later than that, but if you want to put your baby bottle at your work, wherever, and like I said, it's the Pregnancy Center helps the whole Tularosa Basin, okay? It's not just Cloudcroft or Mayhill or Tule, it is the whole basin. So if you would like at the end of the service, please pick up a bottle. And then in the inserts, there will just be reminders that, you know, the baby bottles are due back February the 24th, okay? And we thank you for your support in this mission ministry. Thank you.
Any more? Glenn?
Sign up for the Valentine's.
They said it was the last Sunday to sign up for the Valentine's, so everybody join us. Join the wonderful dinner and the fellowship over at Sacramento. That's a beautiful place anyway. Thanks, Glenn. Thank you, Debbie.
I just got one quick announcement also. On the back is a clipboard. Again, we're still looking for people to help us with children's sermons, so I just put it on that back table as you leave today. If you are moved by the Lord to do one of the children's sermons that we do down here at the front of the church, please sign up. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. Okay. Do we have any visitors today? Somebody? Okay. Well, glad you're here. We ask that you sign there'll be a red attendance notepad that'll go by. If you would, please put your name, your address, and your information so we can make contact with you later. So I think it starts from my right over to the left, if you'll get that started. Thank you. Also, for your prayer request, for your joys and concerns, I think it's a yellow slip now that's in the pews. If you would write your joys or concerns on that, and the ushers will pick that up during our offering.
First hymn?
Oh, okay. Thanks. During the first hymn. So let's begin with our worship and prepare our hearts and minds as we progress through this morning.
This morning, if you're wondering why all of the scaffolding and the wires and the gentleman doing tweaking with the sound system, it's because our new sound system is in place. And so we're using that this morning. Hopefully it will be a big difference. I've already heard it with choir practice. So enjoy. Our opening hymn is found on page 529, How Firm a Foundation. Please stand as we sing together.
Call to worship. I'll read in the lighter print, and you and the congregation really read in the bolder print. O holy God, like Jeremiah the prophet, we stand in awe of your glory, feeling tremendously small and polluted by our sin and the sin of our society.
Even so, touch us through your burning presence. And we are made clean and whole.
O God, our Creator, continue to build this household of faith into what you want us to be.
O Christ, our Savior, lead us to do as you will. O Spirit, our power, strengthen us for the work of the kingdom, a worship and a service which is ours today as well as tomorrow.
O blessed Trinity, fill this place and these people with your presence.
For yours is the power and the salvation and the creation, now and always. Amen.
Amen. Okay, if you'll turn to page number 881 in your hymnal, we'll read the Apostles' Creed in unison. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Your faith, we sing to page 2055. You are my hiding place.
Let's join in unison for our prayer of confession.
Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. Let the words of our mouths, the thoughts of our hearts, and everything that we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. Amen.
And restore us through Jesus Christ, in whom we trust. Amen. Our declaration of forgiveness. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to proclaim release to the captives. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and you are released. The joy of the Lord in your strength and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for our offering?
That all,
Will you pray with me? Lord, may this offering extend the work of your kingdom in your church, your community, and into the beautiful world which you have made. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy If you'll turn to page 12 in the front of your hymnal. Christ our Lord invites us to his table, all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and to seek to live in peace in one another. And then we'll go over to the great Thanksgiving, since we've already had our confession and pardon. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, We praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the whole world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, that we feast in this heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer that our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would the communion assistants please come up, those helping during this time? Welcomes everyone, regardless of whether you're Methodist or as long as you believe in Jesus Christ.
With joy we meet our Lord, His presence always near. Is in such friendship better known? We see and praise Him here. We see and praise Him here.
Now may this body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, keep you and strengthen you in His grace. Amen. In our prayer requests, our sharing time, celebration from Dan and Pat Cooper, Sr., asks Pastor Francis and her concerns and travels. She's lucky her is in Florida with her son right now. And visits, blessings for her, and concerns for Dick and especially Mary Richards. Dick says that Mary is, after a little scare on, a lot of scare on Friday, is back at Betty Dare today. I saw her yesterday, and she was in chipper mood and talking. Her only complaint about the hospital is that they don't have CBS on the... So I said, well, that's just to get you out of the hospital sooner. and their medical issues. So keep Mary and Dick in your prayers. Prayer of celebration is that Norma Jean is back in church with us and living with Dick and Mary. So we will pray for Don and Dick. Maybe you're having Norma Jean live with you. I don't know. Probably not. And we do want to thank God for the blessing of the sound system. Be sure to shut me off when I make mistakes like that. Okay, let us pray. Let us pray for this church, inspired by the Holy Spirit, as we respond to God's call. And when we're reluctant to accept that call to strengthen us, when we're doubtful, to encourage us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations. Kindle with us a spirit of respect for one another. And protect those who, for no fault of their own, have to flee their homes to escape danger or oppression. We ask that you bring your peace to communities which are torn apart by war and violence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in need, those who suffer abuse. Guide all those who provide medical care. We thank you for doctors and nurses and caregivers and just in people at home that offer that care to loved ones. Comfort those who grieve and those who bring healing to the sick. And we especially pray for Mary and Dick. And I want to bring Glenn to you, who continues to have his worries with his foot. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we thank you for our children and for this assembly and for this community. So, Lord, in your mercy. And we thank you for Pastor Francis and for her being able to have and for her family that has offered her this time of respite and being able to get away. So, Lord, in your mercy, and we thank you that Norma Jean is home once again and able to worship with us. Lord, in your mercy, all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer for illumination. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In our Our scripture for today is taken from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. And got to find Jeremiah here. And as you can see, Jeremiah 1, that's right at the beginning of his call. He has some excuses. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, and to build and to plant. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. And Luke 4, verses 21 to 30. And this is pretty close to Jesus' beginning of his ministry. He had been baptized, and then he went back home again to Nazareth. Then Jesus began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? He said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, doctor, cure yourself. And you will say, do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum. And he said, truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, and the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow in Zarephath in Sidon. And Sidon and Zarephath was in a foreign land, not in Israel. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian, so a foreigner. When they heard this, all the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The word of God for the people of God. I'm going to come down here so maybe you can see me a little better. Now, they suggested I go to the top of the scaffolding, but I said, I'm not that old of a preacher. And we don't live in Germany. So peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I like to listen to American Life, This American Life. On PBS sometimes. on NPR. And one time there was a story called The Do-Gooders. And I don't know if you heard that one, but it was about a couple named the Whartons. And they had retired from really good jobs in St. Louis, and their dream was to move back to their little town of about 300 people in Missouri, and to remake the town into its glory days, to help this town revive again. And because the town had really come into disrepair, the homes were mainly trailers, and that wasn't so bad, but it was that there was a junky car that didn't work in every driveway or in every lawn. There were old refrigerators that were there, and kids were playing in them and around them, and they were afraid that those kids would shut the doors and suffocate. There weren't any sidewalks, just ditches. There wasn't a sewer system, so the wastewater just went into those ditches, and the kids played in those ditches. And there weren't any parks. There wasn't any infrastructure. There wasn't a grocery store. There wasn't any store. There wasn't anything in the town. So they thought they could maybe help the town grow again. And so they came back, and they tried, but they failed. People just did not like them. He ran for mayor. Well, could he not even be mayor? I don't think they could have elected they would have elected him as dog catcher. They just did not like him. They hated them. They threatened them. And eventually they had to move out of town. Their dream just fell flat. And the reason was they were speaking the truth to the townspeople. They were saying, you have to clean up your yards. You can't have these junky cars just lying around. You can't have these refrigerators that don't work and the kids playing around them. And they didn't like hearing that. And they were saying, you can't tell me what I can do in my yard, in my house. This is my place. So they became prophets in their own hometown, and the people didn't like it. And they threatened them, and they kicked them out of town. They had to go retire someplace else. You know, people didn't like to hear what the Whartons had to say. I've heard of some churches like that too. They get a new pastor. They think, oh boy, new pastor, new ideas. They're going to really come and help this church grow. And the pastor does have new ideas. But you know what? That pastor isn't of that church. They're a stranger. And people who have been around that church a long time, when that pastor brings in new ideas, and the church maybe actually starts growing and changing, they go, we don't like what you're saying, preacher. We don't like to hear what you're saying. You know, it's okay to have those new ideas. Keep them to yourself. Uh-oh, where's the nearest cliff? Let's take that pastor out and dump him off. Yeah, right out in front. Yeah, what's going to happen when this church starts doubling in size? And there's not enough parking. And you don't get here soon enough. And you say, oh, I've been a member here for, well, it's going to be 50 years this year. Well, I've been a member here 50 years. I deserve a place to park. What are those new people doing taking my spot? I think I've told you about that story of that person that took the lady's pew in one of the churches I knew about in Nebraska. A friend of mine sat down. She was a new one in that church and sat down in a lady's pew. And the lady came up behind her and hit her over the head with a hymnal and said, "This is my pew." Wow. didn't go over too well. And how about that noise that the kids are making? Come on, kids, make some noise. What about if there were 50 kids making a lot of noise? Would we like that? Well, sometimes pastors are called to be prophets, and they are to tell the truth. And sometimes they say, you know, we as a congregation need to make changes or we die. Or if nothing else, we shrink. And we certainly won't grow. And we certainly aren't doing what God calls us to do, that of telling others about the love of Christ. And we certainly aren't preaching that. So they become prophets to a congregation. And, you know, that's what a prophet's all about. You know, we think of the word prophet, we think it's a person that just tells the future, right? That's what a prophet does. But a prophet is a truth teller, to tell the truth. That's what a prophet does. They do sometimes tell what the future holds, because that's what that pastor would say. If you don't change, we'll shrink, or we won't grow. And that's telling the future, but the real role of the prophet is to tell the truth. This is the truth, and this is the word of God, because that's what God tells us to do. And so a role of the prophet is to tell the word of God and to tell the truth, what God wants us to hear. And sometimes we don't like to hear what God wants us to hear. You know, people are hard on prophets. You know, when God told that to Jeremiah, he probably did want to be a bullfrog instead of a man. Oh, now you're getting it. If you know, Kendra probably isn't. Do you know what book Jeremiah the bullfrog was? Okay. All right, sing it. Okay. You know, Jeremiah spoke truth to the government, to the king. And he spoke truth to the rich. Because the king, the government, and the rich were not taking care of the poor, the widows, the orphans. They were keeping it all for themselves. In fact, they were taking advantage of the poor, the widows, the orphans. And they didn't like when Jeremiah was telling them that they weren't following God's rules. And so Jeremiah even ended up down in the well, a well that they threw him in and left him there to die for a while. So who wants to be a prophet?
It's not any fun. And Jeremiah had heard what happened to prophets. Some of them got killed if they were telling the truth. Who wants to be that? Do you want to be a prophet? But you know, sometimes we are called to be prophets through our baptisms. Sometimes we're called to be prophets to tell the truth. And sometimes we're called to listen to prophets, to hear the truth. We come from the rich. We may not think we're rich, but if you've ever been to a third world country, you know what it means to come from America, to be from the land of the rich, or from a first world country. We understand. It really opened your eyes of how rich we really are. And so we are called to speak for the poor and those who don't have. If you've ever been a widow and maybe have lost half your income, you know what it's like. And maybe don't have the resources that you used to. Or if you've ever been an orphan, most of us probably haven't, but if you know one or have heard of one, you can maybe have been called to speak for one. You know, I heard a story of a woman who was adopted as a child, as a baby, and her adopted father really loved her. He's the one that wanted a baby. The mother never wanted a child, and she was really harsh on her. And when she was 14, the father died, sort of like a Cinderella story. And the mother kicked her out at 14. She had to live on her own. And this was in the 50s. And she found herself a job. But the owner of the business treated her like a daughter. He found her a place to live. And she didn't realize it at the time, being 14. He was really subsidizing where she lived. Took care of her. Paid for her. She had to pay something. It was minimal. Paid for her room, her board, and then said, I'm going to pay for, or he didn't say, I'm going to pay. Here is a correspondence course that you are going to take. She didn't realize at the time he was paying for that too, so that she could get her high school education. And he even went so far as to get her college education so she could become a nurse. And then when she got that far and got her LPN, he said, okay, now you need to go find another job because I'm going to fire you. Because you're too good for this job. And then he went and found her a nursing position. He was Jewish, and he listened to the prophets because that's what the prophets said to do. You take care of the widows and the orphans. You take care of those in need. You know, sometimes you listen to the prophets and you act. Sometimes we are called to speak on behalf of others. Sometimes we are called to listen. But we are always called to be doers of the truth. Amen.
Please stand as we sing together, page 2172, We Are Called.
Shine with the joy and the love of the Lord. We are called to be light for the kingdom, to live in the freedom of the city of God. We are called to act with justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another, to walk humbly with God.
Come,
open your heart, show your mercy to all those in fear. We are called to be hope for the hopeless, so hatred and blindness will be no more. We are called to act with justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another, to walk humbly with God. Sing, sing a new song. Sing of that great day when all will be one. God will reign and we'll walk with each other as sisters and brothers, united in love. We are called to act with justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another, to walk humbly with God.
The God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joy is with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family
of God.